Hovind's first. Hovind's first ABC order.
Okay.
Archbishop. So.
Yeah. Do I have time to start?
I'm going to be starting, but you're not going to be doing anything for like 3 minutes or so. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Harold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. On behalf of myself and the First Friday Club board, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to the March 2025 program. It's my distinct pleasure to welcome four senior students from our local Catholic high schools who will reflect on how God has walked with me through high school. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. After the presentation, you'll have the opportunity to write down questions for our speaker, and you feel free to do that during the program. There are pencils and cards on the table. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break, and we'll collect those question cards, and then we'll have a question-answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce Walsh Jesuit student Lauren Zemanski, who will offer our opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, thank you for the opportunity to gather here today to hear stories of how our peers have experienced Christ in their lives during their high school experience. Help us all to recognize you in our midst, knowing that we are loved no matter what, and that we can always turn towards your love to deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us. Though the high school years can be difficult at times, we know that your love is always with us. As young people, we pray for the courage to seek you in the programs at our schools and in our church. As always, we are grateful for your love and guidance in our lives. In gratitude, we say, thank you, Lord, for the people and programs that help deepen our experiences in you and our faith in you. Loving God, hear our prayers and answer them according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lauren. It's now my pleasure to welcome our local high school representatives and also First Friday Club board members who will introduce our speakers, and we're going to go in ABC order, so we are starting with Archbishop Hovind.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Kelsey Cease, and I am the campus minister at Archbishop Hovind High School. On behalf of Hovind's president, Chris DeMauro, who was unable to be with us this afternoon, I am honored to introduce Ava. In the words of Mr. DeMauro, I would like to begin by thanking the First Friday Club of Akron for this incredible opportunity. Like many of you, I always have this particular gathering circled on my calendar. Today, I am more than certain that you will hear captivating stories from a very special group of students. Collectively, they represent the best of our Akron area Catholic schools, and they should be celebrated for their accomplishments. I would like to introduce to you Hovind senior Ava Norton. Ava came to Hovind from St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception School in Worcester. Yes, you heard that correctly. A daily commute from Worcester to East Akron. We are thankful that Ava and her family managed to withstand the grind of those daily commutes as she has blossomed into the quintessential Hovind Knight. Ava has excelled in the classroom, where her daily course schedule is filled with AP and CCP coursework. She is a four-year member of our volleyball program and helped lead the Knights to a 26-1 record and berth in the regional finals. She is a student ambassador, a member of our student council. serves on the yearbook staff, and is a student leader for Hoban's Project Hope program. Personally, I have had the pleasure of watching Ava grow into the beautiful person she is today through the many campus ministry programs she is a part of. Project Hope, Retreat Leader, Spezunica Participant, just to name a few. I am excited to see what her future holds, and I'm excited for all of you to hear about her journey through her time at Hoban. Ava has chosen to attend the University of Mount Union next fall and will study in the pre-physician's assistant track and will also play volleyball for the Purple Raiders. It is my absolute honor to welcome Hoban student Ava Norton.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Just as Mrs. C said, my name is Ava Norton, and I'm currently a student at Archbishop Hoban High School. Firstly, I want to say that I'm honored to be here today and have the opportunity to share the love that I have for my school and acknowledge the lasting impact a Hoban education has had on me. I also want to thank my close friends and family for being here as well. Without any of these wonderful, caring, and selfless individuals, I wouldn't be who I am today. The extent to which Hoban has changed me and shaped me into the person you see before you is a lot for me to cover in only 9 to 10 minutes, so please bear with me. To begin to explain to you the depth of my high school years, I need to first explain what in the world a Holy Cross education is. Hoban is sponsored by the Brothers of Holy Cross. This kind of educational tradition in the United States dates all the way back to the founding of the University of Notre Dame in 1842. The Congregation of Holy Cross is united by the motto, Ave Crux, Spes Unica, meaning Hail the Cross, our only hope. This motto, coupled with the Holy Cross core values I have learned at Hoban, have helped me to better understand the hope that I have found through my faith. I believe that the core values encompass the true meaning of what it is to be a compassionate, educated, and well-rounded human. Every Hoban student is taught the 10 Holy Cross core values in their first semester of their freshman year in a course called Holy Cross Spirituality and Charism. I remember this class vividly, and not only because I had Mrs. Balgren, a theology teacher who would make us do jumping jacks and air squats before she started to teach. I remember this class because Mrs. Balgren taught us about the core values with passion. This list of 10 words and phrases that, at first glance, seemed to be randomly thrown together was actually really important. The core values of reliance on the divine providence, integrity, educating both the heart and the mind, zeal, discipline, excellence, option for the poor, inclusiveness, family, and hope had the power to change each and every one of us. Out of all of those, I want to focus on two. Now, why just two, you ask? All 10 of these core values have made an impact on me at some point in my time at Hoban, but the values of reliance on divine providence and option for the poor are what have carried me through difficult times, helped me to decipher God's purpose for me, and learn that I can be someone who makes a difference in our world, no matter how impossible that may seem. One of the most transformative lessons I've learned at Hoban is trusting in God's plan, even when it isn't immediately clear. The core value of reliance on divine providence can most simply be described as recognizing God's activity in our lives. I've grown up Catholic, so this task of trusting God must be easy for me, right? In reality, it is actually something I wrestle with. I've had moments of doubt, moments where I questioned where I was supposed to be and what my purpose truly was. While trusting and believing in something I'm not fully able to understand, feel, or see is difficult, I know it is real because I ended up at Hoban. I come from Worcester, where I went to Catholic elementary school there, then public school for my 7th and 8th grade years. When it finally came time for me to head to high school, I found that I missed my Catholic education. Something was pulling at my heart, but I didn't know what, and I didn't know why. My parents have made countless sacrifices for me to be in the position I am in and to receive the education I have gotten through Hoban. They made it happen for me, and I started my freshman year despite the long 45-minute drive to and from school every day. While learning about divine providence, sitting in that very first high school theology class, it clicked for me. I was there for a reason. And even though I knew it in that moment, I still couldn't even begin to comprehend how my life would be changed by going to Hoban. It was all God's divine providence. That was the tugging on my heart when trying to figure out where I should go to school. God had been working in my life long before I even recognized it. I'm reminded of his power and love for me as I walk the halls at Hoban and take hold of the opportunities I have been given because I go to school there. The friendships, service opportunities, the mentors who have believed in me. All of it was a part of something greater. That realization has brought me a deep sense of peace and fullness. As I graduate this year and prepare for the next chapter of my life, I don't have all the answers, and there are still many unknown challenges ahead. But what I do know is this: I am exactly where I'm meant to be, and God will continue to lead me forward, just as he always has. Another value that has profoundly shaped me is option for the poor, the call to serve those in need and to see the dignity in every person, no matter their circumstance. At Hoban, all educators try to ingrain in us students the importance of service and critiquing current societal values. The emphasis placed on helping others is crucial to the culture at Hoban and a Holy Cross education. Hoban offers many, many service opportunities, but the one that stuck with me has been Project Hope. This is an outreach program run through Hoban that meets every Wednesday and goes out into the Akron community, delivering food and other basic necessities to the needy and the homeless. If I'm being completely honest, before being involved in this service, I found it so easy to turn a blind eye to the homeless. As a young girl, it was scary and uncomfortable for me to see that kind of vulnerable hurt and struggle. I have been fortunate enough to always have a roof over my head and food in my stomach, so I had no idea how I could possibly respond to those who didn't. My mind couldn't even begin to comprehend how someone like that must feel, since I've always been much more privileged and protected in that kind of way. I decided that my freshman year, I was going to start signing up for Project Hope, and at first, it was just to meet the service hour requirement. But I soon realized that being a part of this was so much more than a box I needed to check off. I'll never forget one of my first outings my freshman year during the winter. It was absolutely freezing. We were at one of our normal stops, and we spoke to a woman with frizzy blonde hair, blue eyes, dry, worn, cracked skin, wearing a dark red jacket. She was drinking the hot chocolate we had just given her, and she began to open up to us and tell us about her story. She explained that she was really struggling. As a homeless person, she felt completely alone, like she was invisible. She told us that most of the time, especially in her experience, people treat the homeless with a lack of love, compassion, and respect. This was one of my first real and raw conversations with someone who, normally, I would walk past on the street, too scared and ashamed to even look at them. Something about this interaction and seeing the look of pure sadness and suffering on her face touched me. I saw her, truly saw her, not as a stranger on the street, but as a human being, a child of God, deserving of love and dignity. I no longer was that scared little girl who wanted to turn and run far away from the struggles of those in need. After being involved in the service for all 4 years of high school, I learned that even the small actions, offering food, a smile, a conversation, can make a profound difference. It also helped me to confront my own misconceptions about homelessness and poverty. These are not people to be ignored or feared. They are people who, like all of us, long to be seen, heard, and loved. Because of Project Hope, I was able to realize that I am capable of being the change I want to see in our world, and that I have the power to make a difference, no matter how small it may seem. This value of option for the poor has become a part of who I am, and as I move forward, I carry with me the commitment to always choose compassion, to always choose service, and to always choose to see the humanity in others. Everyone deserves to be shown love because we are all God's children. All of the Holy Cross core values have shaped me in one way or another, both throughout my high school experience and the person I am becoming. Divine providence has taught me to trust in God's plan. Option for the poor has opened my heart to those in need. And hope has given me strength in times of uncertainty. Through integrity, zeal, and discipline, I have grown in character and perseverance. While educating hearts and minds, excellence and inclusiveness have shown me the importance of lifelong learning, always striving for my best, and embracing those around me. The amount of support and love I've been graced with is beyond anything I've ever experienced. I've always been given the space to explore my interests and to be myself without fear of judgment. The lessons I've learned at Hoban about faith, trust, and service will stay with me far beyond these 4 years. I'm pretty sure the saying goes, all good things must come to an end, but I don't resonate with this cliche at all. I believe that, instead of a complete end, the good things that you've had the joy of experiencing just continue into the next journey you go on. They never truly end. A personal example of this is how I decided on a college. After I graduate from Hoban, I'll be attending the University of Mount Union to study in the pre-physician's assistant program and compete on their volleyball team. Because of Hoban and the kind of introspection I've been able to gain from the teaching and support I've experienced here, I was able to look for a college I knew would give me the same sense of positivity and fulfillment. As I look ahead to my next journey, I carry with me the lessons, values, and faith that Hoban has instilled in me. The support, love, and opportunities I've received have shaped me into the person I am today, someone who strives to serve others, trusts in God's plan, and holds onto hope. Blessed Basil Moreau, the founder of the Congregation of Holy Cross, once said, "Divine providence has led us to this point. It will see us through." Reflecting on my time at Hoban, I see how true this is. God has been guiding me, even when I didn't fully understand it, just as he will continue to do in the future. I found my passion of helping others and trying to better understand the world around me and how my God-given gifts can make a difference. Hoban has become a piece of who I am. Everything I've learned, not only about math, science, or history, but about how to be a good person with a good heart, has become so deeply rooted in me. And as I move forward, I hope to share the love, faith, and compassion it has given me with everyone I encounter. Thank you.
Well done. Good afternoon. I'm Deborah Farquhar Jones, president of Our Lady of the Elms. Thanks to Ava for doing such an amazing job, and thanks to all of you for being here today to help us celebrate our seniors. So at the Elms, we are committed to defining what it means to be an Elms girl. This select group of women, there are only 3,000 total graduates, shares a unique experience of spending their student days at a Dominican school, where the charism is alive and well. We are all about helping each girl thrive in her own individual way, with the four Dominican pillars, study, preaching, prayer, and community, guiding our day-to-day lives. As an Elms alum recently shared with me, if you've met one Dominican, you've met one Dominican. In addition, the beauty of a small school is that I get to watch the girls as they become who they were meant to be. Today's Elms student speaker, Gwen Ledbetter, lives the charism as she articulates the values of an Elms girl. She is boldly discovering her way as she cares deeply about peace and justice, and human rights, two of the basic tenets of our original sponsors, the Dominican Sisters of Peace. Gwen's Elms career has included participation in Academic Challenge, Just Right, and she has been actively involved in our social action work. Her college choices are many, including Chatham University in Pittsburgh, my hometown, and Dominican University, Ohio Dominican in Columbus. I'll let her tell you what her choice is. Her commitment to her faith continues to be lived through her parish, St. Sebastian, her part-time job at the Village of St. Edward, which was originally founded by the Akron Dominican Sisters, and her love of her family. Mom Heidi and Sister Phoebe are here with us today, along with all of her pals from school. Please join me in celebrating Elms senior Gwen Ledbetter.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
As you've heard, my name is Guinevere Ledbetter, and I'm a senior at Our Lady of the Elms High School. I've been attending the Elms for 8 years now, and my mom was offered a position in the high school as the theology teacher during the summer between my fourth and fifth grade years. She immediately pulled me from King CLC, the elementary school I had known my whole life, and unexpectedly dropped me into the small all-girl fifth grade classroom in the lower school's west wing. I was not happy to be attending this new school. My whole world had been turned upside down as I went from being part of a grade size of 90 kids to a class size of just 10 other girls. At the time, 10-year-old me was very upset to be attending the Elms. My first year was full of odd new experiences, like how once a month, the elementary school and middle school would walk up to the mother house on campus to attend mass with the sisters. I don't remember interacting with the sisters very much back then. And it's crazy to think about now just how close I have become with them. My sophomore year, I was offered a job at the mother house. I spent every other day at the mother house office after school. I worked as a receptionist, answering the phone, opening doors, paging sisters, and honestly, I spent a lot of time working on homework as well, as the phone was fairly quiet and the time I spent up there was when the sisters were busy at mass and dinner. I found the most joy in the small, meaningful interactions I had with the sisters and the guests who visited the mother house. The receptionist office sat at the end of the long entrance hallway that the sisters would take from the chapel to the dining room. I would wave and smile to every single one as they walked by. Sisters would often stop in to ask me about school or my family or offer me snacks. One sister specifically, Sister Mary Fook, who would always stop in to make sure they gave me extra dessert. I once even spent a whole shift teaching her how to crochet a heart-shaped granny square. Unfortunately, this past August, as I started my senior year, I lost my job at the mother house when it closed and all the sisters moved down to Columbus. Fortunately, I've had the privilege of going down to visit the sisters a handful of times, and they've stopped back up at the school a couple of times too. But most recently, I traveled down to Columbus this past Saturday to visit. Although I haven't seen many of them for months, I felt like I was immediately welcomed back into their arms. I have never been surrounded by such a loving and caring community like that of the Dominican Sisters of Peace. I don't think I would be the same person standing before you today without their guidance and encouragement. Every time I travel to the Mother House in Columbus, I am immediately greeted at the front door by Sister Mary, a different Sister Mary than the one I mentioned before, Sister Mary Noel, because believe it or not, there are many, many, many Dominican sisters who are named Sister Mary. But Sister Mary Noel always sticks by my side when I visit the Columbus Mother House, and she typically holds my hand as we walk through the different hallways, too. And every time she introduces me to someone new in Columbus, she always starts with, "This was our receptionist up in Akron. This is our Gwen." In the past, I haven't had the chance to personally... I don't know why that's there. Sorry. I have never been surrounded by such a loving and caring community like that of the Dominican Sisters of Peace. My time spent at the Mother House was overflowing with love and care. Despite my original opposition to attending an all-girl institution, I found great comfort in the Dominican Sisters of Peace. I truly believe that they were my gift from God to guide me through high school. And although the sisters don't reside in Akron anymore, their spirit continues to live on at the Elms. I see their love, kindness, patience, compassion, and what I think is most important, their lighthearted humor in everybody I pass in the school building. It's funny, I spent so much of my freshman and sophomore year trying to isolate myself from my Elms community. I skipped most school-related events, including dances like homecomings. And during these years, I would schedule my appointments very carefully so that I would miss school days of significant events. One of these days was actually the day of freshman blessing, which is a tradition at the Elms where the incoming freshman class went up to the mother house to be blessed by the sisters. The sisters would sing their traditional Dominican blessing while stretching their arms out to pray. Similar to many other events, I scheduled an orthodontist appointment this day so I wouldn't have to attend in this community event, which is ironic, really, because I ended up being so close with the sisters merely a year later. But thankfully, I have been able to hear and receive this prayer multiple times over the years. I think last at an employee Christmas party that the sisters had right before they moved away. And since losing the sisters' presence at the school, I've taken every opportunity to grow closer with the girls in my class. I realize that I've spent too much time resisting opportunities to form relationships with the girls that have been by my side since the very beginning. Through the sisters' guidance, I now realize that I have always been surrounded by a special sisterhood of love and appreciation at Our Lady of the Elms. My experience with the sisters has taught me that regardless of age, we are all the same sisterhood. The sisters' love is ageless and unconditional, and it will transcend generations at the Elms. Our Lady of the Elms has always held up the pillars of Dominican life that it was founded on. These four pillars are study, community, prayer, and service. Although we are not run by the sisters anymore, we recently transitioned to another Dominican foundation, the Dominican Veritas Ministries, which promises to continue to empower young people through a Dominican Catholic education. But Our Lady of the Elms and its students will always remember that it was founded by the Dominican Sisters of Peace and will always carry their flame and legacy into the future. I truly miss the sisters every day, but every day I spend at the Elms is just another reminder of the sisterhood that emerged from their determination. It's hard to believe that I will soon be graduating from a place that I've called home for nearly half my life, but I will always consider myself so lucky to be part of a Dominican community. And even while I'm away, I will always belong to the Sisterhood of Elms Girls. I have given many speeches and witnesses this year regarding the Dominican Sisters of Peace, but I don't think anything I could ever write or present to you could show my love and appreciation for them. If any of you see me on a day-to-day basis, you know how much I talk about how much I love and miss my sisters. My mom likes to make fun of me for regularly making plans to travel down to Columbus to hang out with the old ladies. But the Dominican Sisters of Peace are some of the kindest people I've ever had the privilege to know. And it's hard for me to portray just how wonderful and inspiring these women are. I will cherish my relationships with the sisters, especially Sister Mary Noel, for the rest of my life. These sisters have made me exactly who I am. They taught me what it means to be patient, kind, and most importantly, compassionate. As I continue my academic journey this fall at John Carroll University, I hope that I will live my life every day in a way that makes the sisters proud. Their care and concern for others is what inspired me to apply for the Arupe Social Justice Scholars Program at JCU. Just this past week, I was accepted into the program, and I'm more than excited to participate in it so that I may have the chance to better myself so that I may better serve others. I hope to live a selfless life like the sisters, and above anything else, I hope to carry their love and compassion with me everywhere I go. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are we doing? I'm Dave Vitito. I'm the president at St. Vincent St. Mary High School. I'm honored to be here to introduce to you one of our own and a fellow St. Hilary grad. Shout out to the Sabres over here. That being Senior Noah Angle. Noah is chapter president of the National Honor Society. He's been a starter on our varsity soccer team. He's a member of the band. He's highly involved with our Marianist life programming through campus ministry. He's a Eucharistic minister, Kairos leader. He co-hosts a podcast that's all about faith and prayer. And I think I'm scheduled to be the next guest on that podcast. So I don't know if that hurts or helps your ratings there, Noah, but I will do my best. On top of all that, he's an Eagle Scout with the Boy Scouts of America. Noah will be heading to The Ohio State University in the fall, and he departs St. Vincent St. Mary as a shining example of all that students can be and become at our school. A scholar, an athlete, a faith leader, an artist, a content creator, which is to say, you can do it all at St. Vincent St. Mary, and he has. Ladies and gentlemen, Noah Angle.
All right, so as I was reflecting on the prompt of how God has been with me through high school, I figured that that's difficult to do because God has been with me through my entire life. You see, my parents, they gave me my faith when I was baptized as an infant. But it was at St. Vincent St. Mary where my faith was reinforced and made my own. So being a part of a Catholic school, faith is a part of our everyday. But it's when our faith is found in others that it truly becomes alive. And so for me, the beginning of this spark in my faith happened during my sophomore year on a field trip for my English class. So I was on a bus, and I sat down next to this guy who we'll call Nick, because that's his actual name. And I didn't really know Nick that well, but for some reason, we just instantly clicked and started talking about God. So here I was, opening up about my life story to a guy who I had never talked to before, except for stuff like how Cam Newton was doing in the NFL or what the physics homework was. And now we were talking about why we believe in God. And it was the craziest thing. So I was legit sitting on a bus with this guy, talking about God for nearly an hour when we barely knew each other. And so this relationship formed on an SUVM field trip proved to be a blessing for both of us. Because Nick and I, we became more vocal about our faith. And that allowed us to meet other people who were just on fire for their love of Christ. So St. Vincent St. Mary is a Marianist school. And once a month, the student leaders of the Marianist Life Group put on a worship night. And it's got adoration, music, discussion, all the fun things. And so during our junior year, Nick and I, we went to one of these life nights. Life stands for Living in Faith Experience. And we were super inspired by the night's topic of prayer. The same prayer that would become a topic for my Kairos witness later that year. And so when we were at that life night, I thought that this particular life night planted a seed of prayer in my faith. And here's the cool thing about faith. It is the only thing that you gain when you give. So for instance, if I give Bill half of my water, that means I lose that half. But faith is different. Faith is like a flame on a candle. And when I use my faith to ignite someone else's candle, that means we have twice as much light, twice as much faith. And that's exactly what we saw at this Marianist Life night when our own candles were lit by faith. And so the very next day, one of my friends had a really crazy idea, and just bear with me as I say this because it sounds silly. We had this crazy idea to start a podcast. And the idea would be that we would record a group of teenagers talk about God and then upload it to the internet. So for our first episode, we sat in my backyard, my friends over there, we sat in my backyard drinking Gatorade and talking about faith and the Marianist Life night. And then we uploaded it to various social media platforms. Now, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but it's hard to be bold about your faith, especially when you're a teenager. And initially, we were met with a lot of judgment, as people's first inclination was to make fun of our podcast and to make fun of us. Now, the good news is that I have four older siblings, so I was already used to that feeling. But anyway, as the support from our classmates and teachers grew, so did the podcast popularity. All by the grace of God, we've gained over 20,000 followers and have reached over 5 million people around the world. Wow. Like, how crazy is that? And it doesn't stop there. Because with the confidence that we gained from the podcast, my friends and I, we entered the campus ministry, where we built more and more of these Christ-centered relationships with people like Mrs. Goshi. She's the one recording back there. Our campus minister. And so the crazy thing is that this all happened because I sat with this random guy on the bus one day. And I'm fully confident that God played his part in all of this. Now, through my journey, it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows like I wish it was. It's been quite the opposite. You see, over the summer, I entered a dark night of the soul. It's when that flame for God dies out. And it was getting to the point where I wasn't sure I was ever truly going to believe in God again. During this time, I've been dealing with loss in my life. And I felt disconnected from my family and disconnected from my God. But still, I had this deep longing for a real and genuine happiness. Basically, I had a God-sized hole in my heart, and he was the only thing that could fill that. But the moment that I truly understood how God was with me happened during the fall of my senior year. I was sitting in the car with my sister, and we were talking about faith. And for context, she is the bravest and most courageous person that I know. And sadly, Laura can't be here today because of her incurable disease. But I brought this up with her. I asked why she still believed in God despite all of the hardships in her life. And she thought for a moment, and then looked at me and said, "How can I abandon God when he has never abandoned me?" And that flipped the switch in my heart. And I think about that moment almost every single day. Because in the world of temporary things like sports practice, school, work, whatever, God is the one constant in your life. And so when I realized this, I was finally able to fully accept his love. And because of that, I've learned some things. Unfortunately, it's not as easy to believe in God as I wish. Because even though my faith is stronger, it's harder. And the sad thing is that it's hard to believe in God. It's hard to believe in something that the rest of the world makes fun of you for, that they say you're being indoctrinated. And trust me, I know firsthand from the podcast. But to me, it doesn't matter. Because St. Vincent St. Mary taught me to be bold in my faith. There were a lot of things in our school that really resonated with me. Things like directing Kairos retreats, waking up for 6:30 a.m. Mass with my friends. Shout out to you, Father Norm. He's the priest who does 6:30 a.m. Mass. And then going to Lectio Divina during lunch. These were all things that were special to me. But the thing about the school that's most special to me is the people. It's the people like Mrs. Goshi and President Bidito who inspire us every single day to make our faith our own. Now, one of the Marianist characteristics that has really been on my mind recently is the characteristic of educate to change. So next year, I, along with all the speakers up here, will be going through a big change. College. But I'm confident that this change will not disrupt my faith. My faith doesn't change when I leave the halls of St. Vincent St. Mary. Because guess what? God doesn't change. God is the same today as he was yesterday. And God is the same today as he will be tomorrow. So through this journey, I've learned that faith isn't always easy. It's not always perfect. But with God's guidance, we can always find our way back to him. And just as Laura opened my mind to God's presence, we too must open our hearts to the ever-present love and guidance of God in our lives. He is always with us, even when we don't see him.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tim Dunn. I'm the Vice President for Mission and Identity at Walsh Jesuit High School. And I get a privilege every day of my life when I've been there to witness the journey of these students. They come in as freshmen, and the campus ministry idea is that we get to see them from the time that they're young and they have to be working with us to the point where folks are able to opt in and do some really incredible things and grow in incredible ways. Into the more fully alive version that God created them to be. And so it's just a privileged place to be. It's my pleasure today to introduce our student, Senior Violet Cavanaugh. I'm confident that you'll see why that she was selected as she speaks with you today about how Christ has been at work at her since her coming to Walsh Jesuit. Violet excels in the classroom, but is also very active around campus. She participates in the Color Guard. She has many campus ministry badges, we'll say, campus ministry experiences. And she's one of the constant voices on our morning announcements. After graduation, Violet hopes to attend either Loyola University in Chicago or Xavier University in Cincinnati. I'm biased, I hope Xavier. And plans to major in political science with an ultimate goal of heading to law school. In her free time, Violet loves spending time hanging out with her family and her friends, particularly watching movies, especially movies that are made in the 80s. She's passionate about equal rights. She loves easy. And it's also really easy to love her and respect her. At Walsh Jesuit, we hope that our graduates will be ready to enter a world that desperately needs people of love, of compassion, and of genuine care for people on the margins. We know that not all of our students grow in the same rate, right? They grow at their own time. But these students today have clearly shown that they're ready to enter a world and serve as they've been called by God. I'm grateful to have witnessed the stories of these three individuals so far, and I'm excited for you to hear from Violet, who we are proud to claim as a Walsh Jesuit woman for others. Please help me in welcoming Violet Cavanaugh.
Hello, everybody. My name is Violet Cavanaugh, and I'm a senior at Walsh Jesuit. I know it's cliche saying that going to a Catholic Jesuit school helped me grow in my faith with God, but it's just so true. At the age of 14, the summer going into my freshman year to be exact, I was happily preparing to attend my local public high school. I remember so clearly my grandmother calling me on July 4th, 2021, asking me if I wanted to attend Walsh Jesuit High School instead. This caught me blindsided because I had gone to public school my entire life and I was perfectly fine at the time with continuing that route. I'm not kidding when I tell you I had absolutely no idea what the word Jesuit meant. I think I thought it was someone's last name, actually. However, I decided to take the experience for what it was and for the first time in my life became a Catholic school student. Walking through the halls on the first day of my freshman year, to say I was terrified is an understatement. I was the only person to come from my middle school, Chagrin Falls, and I was petrified at the thought of being all alone for the first time in my life. It was also the first year I would not be going to school with my brother as he began attending Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore that same fall. However, I made the most of it, and I think I disguised my fear pretty well. To be honest with you, I wasn't really the most religious person going into high school. I believed in God, of course, and prayed every night, but I didn't really take the time to see him in my daily life. I took a lot for granted. Additionally, when I prayed, I found myself asking for favors a lot, but not really taking the time to appreciate what I already had. In the early days of my high school career, the most important aspects of Walsh Jesuit to me were the classes, the dress code, and the social scene. The religious aspect didn't even hit the top five back then. So I never really imagined myself having an interest in campus ministry when starting high school, but this definitely changed throughout my years at Walsh Jesuit. If you told my freshman year self that by my senior year I would know each campus minister on a personal level and that the majority of my close friends originated from my involvement and participation in campus ministry, I would have called you crazy. It's safe to say that I had no idea what amazing things were waiting for me at this Jesuit school. For my first 2 years, I only participated in mandatory ministry and theology. I did mandatory service hours my freshman year, as well as sophomore service at the Peter Morin Center in Akron, and that was moving for me, but not really anything to write home about at the time. My theology classes were fine, but I didn't really feel a personal calling yet because I didn't put the effort in to engage myself. I was more focused on different matters, such as my social life. Admittedly, I didn't really get involved with my school's campus ministry until my junior year when I attended the Ignatian Family Teach-In for Justice. At the time, I had no idea what was calling me to attend this trip, as I went on it without any of my friends, and I only had a slight idea of what it would be like. But now I know it was God calling me to enter this new experience, and I'm so glad I attended. Taking the leap of faith into Walsh's campus ministry through this trip changed my life, and I'm confident it is because of God that I found the courage to attend this trip all alone, especially since I am an introvert. While on the Ignatian Teach-In, I met so many new people who I can now call my friends, and I can confidently say that I discovered my vocation to be a lawyer as a result of this experience. Being in Washington, D.C., surrounded by 2,000 like-minded individuals, invoked something in me I had never felt before, a drive to make my voice heard no matter the circumstances. This involvement would not have been possible had I not gone to Walsh Jesuit. My engagement with Walsh's campus ministry does not end there either. A month after returning from the Ignatian Teach-In, I decided to take a leap into the unknown by attending Kairos 151. I might sound like a broken record at this point, but I was really scared going into this trip as well. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the Kairos retreat, but a major element of it is how it's a secret. You don't know what's going to happen until you go. This really scared me at the time, but now I know that God was walking with me every step of the way on this retreat. I let down my barriers and got to know new people, people I'm confident God placed in my life. Kairos allowed me to devote time to remind myself that God is in the little things, like a pleasant conversation, cracking a joke at the drive-thru window, or even just seeing an extra pretty sunset on my commute home. On Kairos, we had masses, but the cool thing was how we made the homilies. The Jesuit priest would pass around a cross, and the entire group would share how they saw God in either their day or a past experience. This was incredibly moving for me because it made me realize that God has always been there with me, even when he was the last thing on my mind. The impact Kairos had on me was so meaningful that I was gifted the opportunity to attend a second Kairos retreat this year, this time as a group leader. This time, I was really scared I would let my small group down by not leading them in the correct way. So I prayed to God that his love and kindness would fill me and allow me to articulate in the most productive manner over the week. Because of this, I was able to encourage my group to see God in the small matters, just as I learned a year prior. I know God was working with me in that moment. Kairos 158 reminded me that God truly is with me every step of the way, through the good times and the bad. And it is so impactful for me that I got to help others realize that too. Kairos 158 holds such a sweet spot in my heart because it taught me that I am enough in the eyes of God. This is an especially important realization for me because I am not baptized. My family has a very strong belief in God, don't get me wrong, but the fact that I've had the chance to experience these callings without being a part of the Catholic Church is a testament to how God is everywhere, with everybody, at all times. His power is real, and I am living proof of that, even though I did not grow up in a traditional Catholic setting. And that is something attending Walsh Jesuit helped me realize. While attending Walsh Jesuit, I also realized God's call for me, to help others. In June of 2024, I embarked on a service trip through Walsh Jesuit to aid the marginalized in Louisville, Kentucky. Going on this trip made me feel God's presence because I was put into a totally new environment with new people, something that has, in the past, terrified me. And yet, I wasn't apprehensive. I know my composure came straight from God's love in my heart. I slowed down and prayed to the Lord that the week would be kind to me and I would be able to help others in the best way I could. My prayers were answered and I immersed myself completely into the trip. I remember, particularly, a wonderful woman named Miss Jackie. She volunteered at one of the food banks we gave time to near the University of Louisville. She was fighting cancer and yet still showed up to the food bank every day with the most infectious smile and the kindest heart. I mean, I seriously think I dropped at least 10 cans of vegetables on the ground and she never got mad at me once. I see God in Miss Jackie. She inspired me to be more forgiving and patient, and I'm fully confident that she's still giving her time today with the highest spirits ever. The memories I made in Louisville are some of the ones I hold closest to my heart because they remind me that the Lord is always with me. 4 years ago, I could not have even begun to imagine what incredible experiences I would find God walking with me on during high school. Even just walking through the hallways in between classes, I see God. In the laughs I hear. In the people I make eye contact with and smile at. In my friends who wait for me to pack up at the end of class because I take a really, really long time. God was walking with me when I turned in my permission slip for the Ignatian teach-in, feeling my fear and for some reason still choosing to do it because he knew that on this trip I would find my vocation by existing in solidarity with others for the first time in my life. God was walking with me when I allowed myself to let go of my boundaries and to get to know new people on Kairos 151, as well as guiding others to do so just over a month ago on Kairos 158, even though I had never done such a thing before, because God knew that my doubts would fade away if I turned to him. God was walking with me when I met Miss Jackie and felt her positivity light up the whole room, because he knew that in serving others, I would find myself. God is walking with me today as I speak with all of you. And that is what Catholic school is all about, preparing individuals like me to, in the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola, go forth and set the world on fire, no matter what background we come from. Through the apprehension and uncertainty of today's world, Catholic schools encourage us to truly find ourselves in the eyes of God. I am so thankful for Walsh Jesuit for providing me with the outlets needed to find that God is always with me. Now I realize that my mandatory service hours and theology classes as an underclassman laid the foundation for a positive faith life, and even though I was not engaged in them back then, I recognize now that they were paving the way for the experiences I can look back fondly on today. I can now enter this new chapter of my journey with the solid foundations of a meaningful faith life. Now that you've heard my story, I invite you to think about your own. God is with you in every decision you make. Choose the path less followed. Pick the more meaningful option, even if the road to get there is more daunting. In the wise words of St. Ignatius of Loyola, go forth and set the world on fire. Thank you.
Again, I want to thank these exceptional young people for sharing with us their experiences. I think we can see that with our current world that has so many things to be concerned about, that young people like this mean our future is going to be a good one. Amen. And just my personal opinion, but I've been coming to First Friday for many, many, many years, but these guys were the best ever. I'm going to make my announcement short because we're running over schedule. Our next meeting will be here Friday, April 4th. Our program will feature a musical change of pace. We will be featuring the Archbishop Hoban High School Steel Drum Ensemble. And if you haven't heard them, it's a real treat, so please try to be here because they are really exceptional. You can make reservations with us by contacting us by seeing all this information. Just go to our website, First Friday Club of Greater Akron. So I'll skip through that. Our future programs, we have a lot of really good things planned. We have brochures out there that you can take a look at, and just go to our website and see our future speakers. And if you're not on our emailing list, please see one of our board members, who you'll see shortly, and let us know. I have another important announcement. The wonderful production of Tetelestai is taking place real soon, and our own Tim Dunn back there from Walsh, who is on our board, is playing Jesus in several of the productions. That's why he's got his Jesus look on right now. And anyway, the card is up here with the schedule, so please come up and see it. And you can come up and, hit it with your phone, and then you can get the schedule. But there's some
posters out here.
Some posters out there, okay? So you can get that over there, and or go to their website, which I believe is livepassion.org, livethepassion.org. But if you've never seen this, this is a transformational experience. If you've never seen Tetelestai, you really need to try to see it. Okay, it looks like if you have questions, hold them up real quick, and our board members will pick them up. I'd like to recognize some folks right now. Please give us a wave if this is your first time attending First Friday Club of Greater Akron. Welcome. We have students here, and give us a wave, students from Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, Walsh Jesuit, St. Hilary, and St. Mary Elementaries. And also the board members of First Friday Club. Just for Gwen, do you still write JMJD at the top of your papers? For Gwen.
She doesn't even know what
I don't even know what that means.
So they don't do it anymore.
Yes, that's right. I went to a Dominican grade school, and at the top of your paper you wrote Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and Dominic.
That's real old school. What is the specific doctrine or teaching from your school or faith in general that has resonated the most with you? If you want to answer, you can, or if you don't want to, pass it on.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah. What was the one specific doctrine or teaching from your school or faith in general that resonated the most? I think you talked about it, but...
Okay, well, I've learned a lot of things at St. Vincent, St. Mary, and the thing I'm about to say isn't strictly a faith thing, but I apply it to my own faith. I think we all know who Maya Angelou is, right? She's a famous poet, and she had an incredible influence in the rights of African Americans. One of the things that she said was, In the end, people don't remember what you say or what you did. They just remember how you made them feel. And so whenever I deliver a speech or a witness or something like that, I always think about that. And so even though it's not strictly a faith thing, I learned that from St. Vincent, St. Mary, and I apply that into my own life.
So something I've learned in the past 4 years is that my vocation is to serve others. The reason that I was put on this earth is to live for other people and help others and volunteer my time. And I think that is just something that the Catholic Church really hones in, and I just think that that's a very important aspect of how we all should strive to be as people.
One of the biggest things I've learned going to Hoban and working in the campus ministry is just the importance of treating everyone you meet with compassion and love. You never know what someone else is going through, and anytime you talk to someone, you have the opportunity to make them feel good and make them feel loved.
How have your family values influenced your faith? And then a little pat on the back too. Please know your faith will conquer the world. How have your family values influenced your faith?
Well, my family has always shown me so much support. I mean, obviously my mom drove me to and from school every single day, 45 minutes. So they've just taught me the values of trust, and I think that just kind of bleeds into my faith life. I mean, I learned to trust God because of them, and
Well, my family, my parents are back there, if you guys all want to. Yeah. My family is just like the definition of love. I remember as early as second grade, my mom would take me and we would feed the homeless out on the streets. And my dad just shows me unconditional love in everything that he does. I know even if he gives me like constructive criticism, I know it comes from a place of love, and same goes with my mom. And I truly think I wouldn't be the person I am today, sitting at this podium, without the love and support of my parents. So thank you.
So sometimes I feel like I've won the lottery in life, not because I have a lot of money, but because the odds of me being with my family are astronomical. Like, it is insane how great my family is. And that makes me feel like I really want something special. And I mentioned in my speech how my sister is sick. And when I was 5 years old, she was diagnosed with a rare liver disease. And so for as long as I can remember, we've been taking frequent trips to Cincinnati, all these different hospitals, trying to figure out what we can do. And sadly, there's no cure. But because of moments like this, it's when I find that you just got to enjoy every single moment with your family. And that's really what I've learned through growing up with a chronically ill sibling. And it's the moments like what I shared in my witness with her telling me that she can never abandon God because God's never abandoned her. That's what inspires me to keep going. And that's really my family. They're the backbone of my faith.
I grew up in a really Catholic family. My mom over there, she's the only theology teacher at our school. So we're very Catholic. And her dad, my grandpa, I think he inspires me more than anyone else because he volunteers a lot. He volunteers with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. He volunteers at the Kenmore Free Store, and he goes to Mass almost every day. And he's just a very giving and selfless and funny person. And I really want to be like him. So, yeah.
We're running over, but I want to do one more question. Well, two more. This one's just for Noah. What's the name of your podcast again?
Okay. Our podcast is called Finding Focus Talks. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Spotify.
And then this one's for everyone. Just give us one example of how you plan on living out your faith at college.
So far, like I said in my speech, I want to join, well, I am, I'm joining the Arupe Social Justice Scholars Program, where they do a lot of, like, Kairos kind of type of retreats. And there's also the Labor Project, where they go out and work for the homeless out in Cleveland. And I really want to take part in that and keep doing my service work, even when it's not something required, like service hours.
Great.
So as President Vinito explained earlier, I'm going to the Ohio State University. And even though it's a public school, there are a lot of faith opportunities there. And the great part is that my table of friends over there, more than half of us are going to OSU. And so we're going to try to keep on our tradition of uploading on the podcast and doing stuff like that. And I truthfully think that when this change happens, my faith is only going to intensify because of that.
So I know that wherever I do go to college, I'm going to definitely involve myself with the service aspect. I know that I'm going to try to go on service trips, try to go out if they have any programs that are like feeding the marginalized or just learning more about them and having connections with them. I'm definitely going to join those clubs like as soon as I get on campus, like the day I get on campus. But yeah, I really want to put myself out there and allow my whatever school I go to know that like I am here to do service for them.
So I'll be going to Mount Union, and I was recruited for volleyball, and when I met with the coach, one of the things that she told me was that this coming year she's really hoping to start doing more team service work, and that was one thing that really drew me in because going to Hoban, I've been so enriched in Project Hope there, and I love doing that, so I love that the coach wanted to do more service. So.
Great.
I've got a lot more questions here and some are specific, so I'll hand those out to the people they were specifically directed to, but we're running short on time. It's now my pleasure to introduce Our Lady of the Elms student Phoebe Ledbetter, who will offer our closing prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our guest speakers today and for their willingness to share their stories and wisdom with us. We are thankful for their time and effort that was spent in composing and delivering these thoughtful presentations. We are thankful to each of these students for setting a good example and for having the courage to share their experiences with all of us. We ask you to bless each of them as they finish their senior years and make their way to college. Please guide them in their journeys throughout college and throughout all their lives, that they may glorify your name by how they live. As we return back to our school lives, may we remember what we have learned today and to watch for opportunities to use this knowledge to better our lives and the lives of others. Thank you for the people you have put into our lives and who sacrificed their time to help us in a variety of ways. We ask you to please bless our families and to watch over all of us as we travel back to our schools. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Phoebe. Again, thank you so much for coming, folks. And make sure that if you have some other folks that you would like to hear this presentation and share it, because it's really well worth it, go to our website, and it will be on a podcast for you to listen to. I want to thank you again for coming, and we look forward to seeing many of you on April 4th. Safe travels.
Chemo.
She handles it well. She handles it well.
Well, she's almost 3 years.
She's a tough character, yeah. I'll tell you. The Lord is with her, I'll tell you. How's your
Have you experienced your new pastor much, or do you get the sub-priests all the time?
We got three priests now.
I know Father Rosen was there a couple times. I don't know if he did.
We're ending with four priests than we had before. Well, it's difficult. I mean, they're trying to do the best they can. The only thing I could say that, or I would look at the bishop this way, the Diocese of Cleveland has the largest group studying for the priesthood and for
the seminary
in the state and the country.
Yeah,
which we have two from our parish.
Right.
So we've got to get one of them, right?
It's much larger. You know, and like Diocese of Youngstown, those pastors there have three and four parishes that they're in charge of. I mean, it's really terrible.
Michael, my youngest one, finishing up his school for deacon. And he's got three more years. He's already got his they make you go back to school to get a master's. So
well,
that's the third time.
And
now he's finished.
And they're going to be doing more and more. That's why, OLV's never had a deacon, have you? You know, and you need to get one.
We've got one. We got three priests and a deacon.
So. It's tough.
Thank you.
Yeah, I figure you'll probably, both of you.
I apologize. I forgot high school kids there back there. If anybody's looking for a summer job, Camp Christopher's back there. So if you're interested in a summer job, please stop by and see him or at least get their information. I'm sorry, Camp Christopher. Stop by and see the sign up.
Thank you.